doesn't think of C. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me the news, they give half truths to me. They give us wives, they feed us lies.
If you're joining us in the second hour today and you missed the first, let me tell you what a show we have been doing right now with our guest Thomas K. Kimmel. And we have been talking again, as we have from time to time, hopefully at least twice a year or more on our program. Don't know of how many others are doing it, but here's a story within a story. And Tom, you're back on the air now, and to continue to give us more of the latest information on this, not only conspiracy within the Roosevelt administration to, you know, goad the Japanese into the first shot, but to victimize the two men there stationed in Hawaii, including your grandfather, but also the cover-up. You know, we hear so much about cover-up commissions, JFK, 9/11, blah, blah, blah. Let's get back into the latest now that you have found, and also in the book, you know, A Matter of Honor here. Continue, please.
Okay, well, and for listeners who have just joined us, they're going to hear me talk about this new book, A Matter of Honor, as though I had written it and I'm trying to sell it. And I want to make it abundantly clear I didn't write it, and I am not trying to sell it. I interviewed for the book. I have read the book. I have found it to be extraordinarily well-written and well-researched. I am an advocate of trying to get the facts, the true facts of the Pearl Harbor story before the American public. And a vehicle for doing this is to write a review of this book, A Matter of Honor, and put it on Amazon. The reason I say that that's a vehicle for getting the word out is Amazon is hugely important in the publishing business. Favorable reviews on Amazon pretty much ensures that the book is going to be a success. I want this book to be a success. And again, I have no interest in this book, certainly no financial interest in this book at all. My interest is purely getting the word out, carrying on the work of my grandfather, who spent the rest of his long life after Pearl Harbor trying to get the facts of the Pearl Harbor story to the American public. I'm trying to do exactly that. And this book is an excellent vehicle for doing it. Now, Rick mentioned in the end of the first hour that although he hadn't read the book, it sounded like it would be an excellent book to make a movie of. Well, I couldn't agree more. And although, Rick, they haven't made a movie of the book, the History Channel and BBC most definitely have made documentaries of this book, mm-hmm. based on this book, and they will air sometime during the period December 5th through December 7th. You have to look for them. The History Channel has done a documentary on it. They've named that documentary Pearl Harbor, the Truth. Pearl Harbor, the Truth. Beyond that, I haven't seen that, but I know it's based on the book. So we should look for that. And hopefully when I find out exactly when these programs are going to be broadcast, and they're going to be broadcast in this country and in Canada and in the UK. Again, the authors are from Ireland. So more on that subject later. Now, having said that, I will continue on with the latest information, and it involves information that actually we became aware of in 1981, but we didn't put the full scope of the information together until this year, and it's in this book. Here is the detail. I've already talked to you about Admiral Smedberg's wiretap of President Roosevelt. Well, in Smedberg's reminiscence in 1981, in that reminiscence is published in something called Air Raid Pearl Harbor, compiled by Paul Stillwell of the Naval Institute Press. And the article by Smedberg is Aide to Admiral Stark, Vice Admiral William R. Smedberg III. It's on pages 90 to 93. Not only did he talk about the wiretap of the president, he also mentioned, and I'm quoting now, "I, Admiral Smedberg, kept a wax cylinder recording of everything FDR said to CNO Stark. I monitored nearly every telephone conversation Stark had, and I made a recording of them." And here's the important part now. Secretary of State Cordell Hull called Stark and said, "Admiral, I'm afraid the fat's in the fire. It's up to you military fellows now." Mm-hmm. "I, Admiral Smedberg, heard that conversation. It was on one of those wax cylinders. I broke up. Now I wish I hadn't destroyed them." Now that's got to be the understatement of my Pearl Harbor studies. "Now I wish I hadn't destroyed them." But why is that important? Why is Stark's recorded conversation with Secretary of State Cordell Hull important? Well, here's why. Because Admiral Stark testified to the Naval Court of Inquiry again in 1944. Recall again, President Roosevelt is alive. He doesn't decease until April 12, 1945. In 1944, Admiral Stark being grilled and interrogated by the Naval Court of Inquiry. Admiral Stark's response to one of the Naval Court of Inquiry's questions. "On November 27, 1941, I do not recall having seen the November 26, 1941 American note from Secretary of State Cordell Hull, or having heard anything about it. I haven't the slightest recollection of that note." Now, it certainly would appear, on the basis of Smedberg's wiretap, that Admiral Stark knew all about that November 26, 1941 note, and even got a telephone call from Secretary of State Cordell Hull concerning that American note. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there's one step that's even more bizarre than this, and it has to do with Harry Dexter White. Because mm-hmm. even though Admiral Stark says he didn't recall having seen the November 26, 1941 American note from Cordell Hull, Secretary of State Cordell Hull, or having heard anything about it, or having the slightest recollection of that note, he went on to volunteer later to the Joint Congressional Committee, this would be in 1946, that sometime prior to the note of November 26, 41, he was called in to read a proposed note from Secretary of the Treasury Morgenthau, which had been written by none other than Soviet spy Harry Dexter White, in which Harry Dexter White's first iteration was almost the exact language that ultimately was adopted by Secretary of State Cordell Hull on November 26th.
Wow.
And Stark went on to volunteer that he saw nothing wrong with Harry Dexter White's proposed response to the Japanese, which again was eventually adopted, almost identical language, by Secretary of State Cordell Hull.
Let me ask you this, Tom. When was it officially acknowledged that Harry Dexter White in the Treasury Department was, in fact, a Soviet agent?
It's kind of a loaded question, Rick, because there are some people that don't acknowledge it even today.
Oh, I know that. I'm well aware of the deniers, but, you know, it is a fact established, though, that he was revealed to be a Soviet agent. Now, Harry Hopkins was a different story. I know he was considered to be an asset, but not an agent himself, never proven. Nevertheless, when was it finally revealed? Was that from the Pumpkin Papers and Alger Hiss's confession?
Well... The best answer I can give you to that is the memo that Edgar Hoover wrote to President Truman.
Wow.
You may recall it.
We discussed it in the past when we were discussing Soviet espionage during the war, yes.
Yeah, it was in 1945. Hoover tried to protest the nomination of Harry Dexter White by President Truman as to the head of the World Bank.
Right. Yes.
And the reason for it is because Hoover knew that Harry Dexter White was a spy. And he wrote to Truman about that. But in 1946, President Truman ignored Hoover's warning not to appoint Soviet spy Harry Dexter White to the International Monetary Fund. But Truman refused to believe Hoover's report that Alger Hiss and Harry Dexter White were Soviet spies. Truman apparently was also worried the pursuit of Venona. Again, Venona is the code word for the secret American decoding of Soviet spy reports prior to and during World War II. Truman was worried that Venona would be a liability to FDR's place in history. He was also worried that Venona was going to be politically damaging to the Democratic Party. So, with President Truman's backing, and certainly with others, Venona remained classified until 1995.
Isn't that incredible? All those years.
And
incredible.
It was Patrick Moynihan, the senator from New York. But for him, Venona would probably still be classified. But
it
he
all
pulled
of that,
political strings.
All of that was held. Sure, sure.
And he got it declassified in 1995. Otherwise, it might still be classified. I talked to the FBI agent who was primarily responsible for investigating Venona, Robert Lamphere. He's deceased now, but several years ago, I talked to him on the telephone about this. And, of course, he knew my interest in it. And he confided in me that he could not understand why the United States government did not declassify Venona in 1980 when the United States government quit investigating the leads generated by Venona. He could not understand why in the world we didn't declassify it then, because it was of no value to the intelligence community at that time. But sure enough, it remained classified until 1995. And, of course, this has slowed down historians dramatically, because it took about 5 years after the declassification for a whole series of books, I think very compelling, very authoritative books, to put the connection between Harry Dexter White and the Pearl Harbor story. You might recall, Rick, that Harry Dexter White did not appear anywhere in any of the 10 Pearl Harbor investigations. You will not find Harry Dexter White's name anywhere, with one exception, and that is with his initials, HDW, as the writer of Secretary of Treasury Henry Morgenthau's famous memorandum of November 18th, to President Roosevelt and Secretary of State Cordell Hull, recommending on what the American diplomatic response should be to the Japanese. Secretary of Treasury Morgenthau was very influential in foreign policy. He was, much to the annoyance of the Secretary of State, I might add, but nonetheless, Morgenthau was very close to President Roosevelt.
No question.
He became very important in the deciding of American policy towards Japan. And this went all the way back to the May 1941 meeting between Soviet agent
I can imagine. I can't remember it either. There are so many Soviet agents in the Roosevelt administration. It's hard to keep up.
Well, this was an absolute NKVD officer. His name is Vitaly Pavlov.
That's the name I was thinking of, yes.
Yeah, he was a very young NKVD officer who visited Harry Dexter White in May of 1941, attempting to carry out the foreign policy of Stalin through an elaborate espionage operation called Operation Snow.
Yes.
And through a whole host of NKVD officers, NKVD being the predecessor of the KGB, they went through an intricate plan to attempt to influence American diplomatic policy towards the United States. And they were extremely successful.
Obviously,
they knew,
yeah.
Of course, Harry Dexter White was their agent. So they decided they were going to use him because they knew Harry Dexter White was very influential in the Treasury Department. He was the number two man in the Treasury Department, and he was Secretary of Treasury Henry Morgenthau's fair-haired boy.
Yeah, and Henry Morgenthau, of course, came under heavy exposure and criticism also for other notorious operations known as one of them, the Treasury Plan, and that would have involved the castration of the German males, you know, and even Stalin had said no to that one. It was considered to be so outrageous and odious, you know, but that's a whole nother story in itself. We can go off in many directions. I do want to keep the focus, though, on the Pearl Harbor investigations and the lack thereof, and all of the, as you pointed out from the beginning in the book, A Matter of Honor, the perjury and the attempt to hang innocent people, to besmirch them, and to perpetuate this throughout history. It's, I don't know of another instance that I can think of now where two men in similar situations, like General Short and Admiral Kimmel, have not been, exonerated fully. In the case of your grandfather, to be promoted posthumously to the highest held rank at the time. I don't know of any others at this point, do you?
I do have a couple of modern examples of that, if you want me to go into them.
Well, I'm talking about this era, you know, particularly in history. But, yeah, I'd like to hear of them.
Well, I have General John Lovell. I think I've mentioned him to you in the past.
You have.
But it's a somewhat analogous situation to Kimmel, in that General John Lovell was cashiered out of the Air Force. He had been the head of the Air Force in Vietnam when a gigantic dust-up, front page of the New York Times, accused the Nixon administration of illegally bombing surface-to-air missile sites in North Vietnam. The New York Times made such an issue out of this that the Air Force was forced to cashier four-star General John Lovell out of the Air Force and blame him for this so-called illegal bombing. Of course, he was reduced from four stars to two stars, just like Admiral Kimmel was. John Lovell deceased. His son, studying an entirely different matter, happened to come upon the Watergate tapes. Reviewing the Watergate tapes, he found that President Nixon, in talking to Kissinger, had found that Nixon had given his father, General John Lovell, authority to bomb these missile sites. On the basis of that, he filed a petition, Army Board for Correction of Military Records.
I see. All right, let's take a break. Tom, we got to stop right here. Come right back after the break, and we'll continue.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Hi. My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2004.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams is on. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
Okay, we're back now with Tom Kimmel. Tom, you were just mentioning the Lavelle case, and you wanted to add to that because of the bombing in Vietnam campaign. What was going on then?
Well, when John Lavelle's son found out about the Watergate tapes, he petitioned the Air Force Board for correction of military records. I think I said the Army Board. But no, it's the Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records saying, hey, I think you should find error or injustice, which is precisely what these boards for correction of military records are empowered to do. That's the reason they exist, to find error in military records or injustice. So John Lavelle's son petitioned the Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records, based upon this information that he had determined from the Watergate tapes that Nixon had authorized his dad to conduct these bombings. Well, the Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records agreed with Lavelle's son and recommended the relief requested, and that was posthumous advancement to Lavelle's highest held rank of four stars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, the Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records sent it to the Secretary of the Air Force. And the Secretary of the Air Force agreed. And the Secretary of the Air Force recommended advancement based upon injustice and correction of the records. He sent it to the Secretary of Defense. The Secretary of Defense agreed and sent it on to President Obama. Again, the requested relief is for the President to nominate to the Senate Armed Services Committee the advancement of Major General John Lovell, that's 2 stars, to full general, 4 stars, posthumously. President Obama did indeed nominate Major General John Lovell on August 4th, 2010. Nomination from 2 stars to 4 stars and sent it to the Senate Armed Services Committee, which is the way all these advancements of flag and general officers occur.
Right. They have to go before
Senate Armed Services Committee. At the time, it was headed by Carl Levine, because the Democrats were in charge then.
Levin,
and the minority head was Senator John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Levine and McCain got together, and they stalled. They allowed the nomination to expire, to lapse the term of the Senate, taking no action. So, if this was going to occur now, President Obama would have to renominate Lovell, which has not happened. Now, a similar situation existed for General Showalter, who was the head of the Air Force in the Khobar Towers disaster. You might remember that.
Mm-hmm.
When Khobar Towers was blown up and killed some, I'm trying to remember, 17, 19 Americans.
Yeah,
anyway, General Showalter was cashiered out of the Air Force over that one. He appealed to the Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records, and I don't have the same kind of detail, but in his case, the Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records also found injustice to General Showalter and recommended advancement. And as I understand it, the Secretary of the Air Force did as well. But somewhere along the line, things have gone off the rails, and I just don't remember quite what's happened there.
Sure, sure.
Now,
well, that was just because I have never found in my research anything that would date back to pre-World War I times, let alone two, and going back even to the Civil War with all of the pardons and all of the promotions of posthumous recognition of unfortunate occurrences where people had been victimized in uniform or as in official capacity of the armed services. So, I mean, Kimmel and Short do stand out as sore thumbs in this historical record. And that's the point, I think, that needs to be driven home. All right, we're up against the break again. Hey, we're going to come back, Tom, and if we can, get into a couple of other areas, and maybe we can find time for a couple of callers here. All right, folks, stay with us. A fascinating edition of today's program. Rick Adams and Tom Kimmel.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking ProtoVite, I was on 14 medications from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, ProtoVite, for giving my life back.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, we're back, folks, and boy, 90 minutes flown by very quickly. Tom, to move onward now, some of the other aspects that maybe briefly you can cover that are new in the last year or so that we should be aware of, the Pearl Harbor story, the story within the story. I'll let you have the floor, and if we have time, we'll take a couple of quick calls here. Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Okay, I'd like to talk about this idea that Admiral Kimmel advanced, that not only was he denied vital information, which would have changed everything, but the way he was denied this information actually misled him. And he styled it as affirmatively misled him. Of course, Magic is the prime example, because he had written to the Chief of Naval Operations when he got wind of the fact from one of his officers who had come back from D.C. This was in March of 1941. It was in February of 1941. Kimmel only took over February 1st of 1941.
Mm-hmm.
The visiting officer, Admiral Brown from D.C., said, hey, Admiral Kimmel, in D.C., I found out that Operations Thinks Intelligence is supposed to be giving us information, and Intelligence Thinks Operation is supposed to be giving us information. It sounds to me like you ought to do what you can to straighten this out. So Kimmel wrote to Chief of Naval Operations Stark and said, Stark, would you please affix responsibility as to who it is that's supposed to give us information that we need out here in Hawaii? And Stark said he would do that. He said he would do that in writing. Not satisfied with that, in June, Kimmel wrote a very similar letter and flew back to Washington, D.C., hand-delivered it to Stark, and effectively it said the same thing. Would you please make sure, Admiral Stark, that we get information that we need out here in Hawaii to keep us fully apprised as to information that we need that's into our problem out here in the Pacific? And once again, Stark gave him all kinds of assurances that he would do so. Well, the fact that Kimmel thought Stark was going to be good to his word that he had given to Kimmel multiple times in writing, not only did Kimmel not get the information that he was supposed to get, but he was led to believe that he was getting the information he was supposed to get, and he wasn't. So he was affirmatively misled in that regard. Not only did he not get it, he thought he was getting it. Mm-hmm. That's number one. But I'll talk about torpedoes and how Kimmel was affirmatively misled with knowledge about torpedoes. It's a very good story. And in the book, A Matter of Honor, they've come up with some wonderful new information. And I will conclude this little segment with that new information.
Sure.
But the story starts, really, with a secret magic decoded dispatch received on January 30th, 1941. It was from the Japanese Foreign Office in Tokyo to the ambassador in Washington, D.C. And what it says was, 2 days before Admiral Kimmel took over his sink pack, Kimmel took over February 1st, 2 days before Admiral Kimmel took over his sink pack, a secret dispatch from Japan arrived in Washington, D.C. and was decoded a week later by American cryptologists. The program for decryption was called Codename Magic. Japan's foreign minister was ordering his ambassador in Washington to establish an intelligence organization in the Washington embassy and to get the details from Secretary Terasaki upon his duties when he assumed them in Washington, D.C. The foreign secretary went on to explain that Japan was cooperating with German intelligence in the United States, that this matter had been discussed with the Germans in Tokyo, and it had been approved. Okay, consider what this secret dispatch had in it. Japan's dispatch was decoded and translated 6 days after Admiral Kimmel took command, but the vital information contained in it was not sent to Kimmel. Not only did the dispatch reveal that German and Japanese intelligence were cooperating, but it identified the head of Japanese intelligence for the Western Hemisphere to include Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, it was not sent to Hawaii. The Joint Congressional Committee, Rick, did not even include this message in its report as being important.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing.
Incredible.
And who was it? Who was it that discussed this intelligence cooperation with the Japanese in Tokyo? It was none other than German military intelligence captain, that's the Abwehr, German military intelligence captain, Ulrich von der Osten. Osten, O-S-T-E-N. Osten was known to Western intelligence since World War I. On March 18th of 1941, Abwehr Captain Ulrich von der Osten and his partner, Kurt Friedrich Ludwig, German spies, entered the United States, and von der Osten was terminated. That is, he was killed in Times Square, New York.
I remember
his partner,
that.
Ludwig, from the scene.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI found in Osten's apartment Osten's report on defenses at Pearl Harbor, with Osten's comment that this will be of interest mostly to our yellow allies. the Joint Congressional Committee did not determine if this report was ever sent to Hawaii, which was a good example of their persistent refusal to analyze causes of Pearl Harbor happenings. They did not ask Admiral Kimmel or General Short about it, or anyone else. July 1941, an American spy, Admiral Charles Lockwood, then our naval attaché in London, he filed a report dated July 15th, 1941. He filed it with the Office of Naval Intelligence. It revealed that British torpedoes could be successfully airdropped in water as shallow as 4 fathoms. That's 24 feet. What's important about that is the vast majority of damage at Pearl Harbor was inflicted by airdrop torpedoes.
Wow.
Secretary of the Navy Forrestal blamed Kimmel for not using torpedo nets. Lockwood's report was not sent to Kimmel, not revealed to the Joint Congressional Committee, not revealed to any Pearl Harbor investigation, to include the 1995 Dorn investigation, not declassified until 1998, and not discovered until 2001, and then only by accident. Next up, another German spy, Dusko Popov. He arrives in the United States in August of 1941 and gave his Abwehr spy questionnaire to the FBI. It emphasized torpedo net use and depth of water at Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
You might recall, Rick, that Admiral Kimmel testified that he did not realize how vulnerable the fleet was in Pearl Harbor because of this torpedo business. It is my contention that if Popoff's questionnaire had been sent to Kimmel, which it wasn't, Pearl Harbor investigators would have bludgeoned him with it. Ditto Admiral Lockwood's July 15, 1941 airdrop shallow water torpedo report, and probably von der Osten's spy report. Okay, as bad as all this is that I'm telling you, it gets much worse. Much worse. Because once again, Admiral Kimmel was affirmatively misled. Why did Kimmel not realize how vulnerable the fleet was in Pearl Harbor because of this torpedo business? Well, in addition to not being sent von der Osten's spy report in March, Lockwood's spy report in July, and Popoff's spy questionnaire in August of 1941, Kimmel was affirmatively misled by Chief of Naval Operations Stark in February and June of 1941, when he was told in official dispatches that British aircraft torpedoes dropped on the Italian fleet at Taranto were dropped in 84 feet and 66 feet of water, respectively. The depth of water in Pearl Harbor is 30 feet, generally, and 42 feet in the channel. That's why Kimmel did not realize how vulnerable the fleet was in Pearl Harbor because of this torpedo business. This is so important, Rick, I would like to summarize it. It's so important because if the Japanese did not develop at the last minute this special torpedo that could run in shallow water, like the shallow water at Pearl Harbor, they do not attack Pearl Harbor because they're not too much damage. And Kimmel was very much aware of that fact. The summary of this torpedo business, this is Kimmel's quote, this torpedo business. That's why I call it that, this torpedo business. Once again, February 1941, Kimmel was told by Stark in an official communication that torpedoes were airdropped in 84 feet of water or more at Taranto. In June of 1941, Kimmel was told by Stark's deputy, Admiral Ingersoll, that torpedoes were airdropped at Taranto in 66 feet of water or more at Taranto, specifically mentioning in both of those communications the depth of the water at Taranto, in which the British had attacked the Italian fleet. Later in June of 1941, the Navy Department was told that torpedoes were airdropped in 42 feet of water at Dakar. Also, earlier in that year, the Navy Department was shown a map, a chart, showing the water at Toronto and the places where the British were dropping these torpedoes, clearly being marked in water 24 feet. Kimmel was not told about either of those, nor was the Naval Court of Inquiry told. That's why, indeed, the Naval Court of Inquiry mistakenly styled Japanese shallow water torpedoes, airdrop torpedoes, as a secret weapon, unknown to any Navy in the world at that time. It was unknown, Rick, to the Naval Court of Inquiry and to Admiral Kimmel, but not unknown to the Navy Department in Washington, D.C. Okay, again, July 1941. Mm-hmm. The Navy Department was told that British torpedoes could be successfully airdropped in 24 feet of water. That was by Admiral Lockwood. Kimmel was not told, nor was any Pearl Harbor investigation told, ever. Once again, depth of water in Pearl Harbor outside the channel is 42 feet. In the channel, I beg your pardon, in the channel is 42 feet. Outside the channel is 30. And, of course, neither the von der Osten spy report in March or Lockwood's spy report in July or Popoff's spy questionnaire in August was sent to Kimmel. Okay, all that said, this is what we find in the new book. Admiral Davis, Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet's Assistant Chief of Staff for Operations, he testified, and I'm quoting now, as I see it, here's the quote, Admiral Arthur Davis, this is to Admiral Hart's investigation. My views at that time, Admiral Hart, prior to the attack, were based on what I recall to be a definite statement by the Bureau of Ordnance that an aircraft torpedo attack in Pearl Harbor, because of the shallow depths, was not practicable. Shortly after 7 December, I recall a dispatch from the Bureau of Ordnance, which clarified its position in the matter. The general tenor of this dispatch was that, actually, torpedoes could be effectively used in depths of water shallow as Pearl Harbor.
After December 7th,
After December 7th,
I guess so. Sitting ducks, you know, and of course they were, you know, the commanders there, including your uncle, your grandfather, were... as you said, set up. They were set up for the fall. So,
As I see it, the only way this dispatch from the Bureau of Ordnance could have been any worse is if the Bureau of Ordnance had added a postscript to the effect that there was no need to focus for this clarification.
No, I guess so. Yeah, right, underscore. Well, that's, you know, that is incredible. The whole story is incredible. It is definitely a story that could go on and on and on, as we have been doing here for years, adding to it every year more of the dirt, so to speak, that has been uncovered. You know, we're up against a break now, but if you want to take a couple of quick questions, we'll bring up one now, but I want to hasten to add, folks, if you're on the line, we don't have much time left. We have a break coming up, so I'll give you a minute with Tom Kimmel, okay? If you have a question, then certainly you may ask it. So let's see if we can just take a call now, and I believe it was Charles in Florida up first. Okay, go right ahead, Charles, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Rick. Mr. Kimmel, the movie Torah, Torah, Torah mentions there's a scene in there where the secret plan for the attack on Pearl Harbor is delivered by a naval attaché to the White House the evening of December 6th before December 7th. It's actually shown in the movie, but they don't tell what happened there. A friend of mine who's read up on that Roosevelt said to Harry Hopkins, his aide, he he said, we won't talk about this, when he read the thing that it was a, you know, but it wasn't in the movie, but that part shows that it was, the message was delivered to Roosevelt in the movie, but not what happened afterwards. Okay. Harry Hopkins worked for Joe Stalin, and Roosevelt and Churchill, when they were together, were careful not to have Harry Hopkins or Harry the Hop Hopkins around, you know, because it went right directly.
Thanks for that statement. We'll get your reaction, Tom. We don't have much time. Thank you, Charles. Tom, any reaction?
Oh, yeah, I got plenty of reaction. Thank you, Charles. You hit the nail on the head there with the Torah. Of the movies about Pearl Harbor so far, I don't think any of them are particularly good, but by far the best is Torah. At least they've come somewhere near the information that had not previously been disclosed, completely unlike the modern Ben Affleck movie Pearl Harbor, which is just Alice in Wonderland stuff.
Another work of fiction. Yeah, all right. We got a break. Thank you, Charles. Take a call quickly. I think we can get David in here and possibly another when we return with Tom Kimmel, and we'll tell you how to get on his site as well.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
And we're back now, folks, and we don't have much time, but I do want to also give you now, before we do run out of time, the way that you might reach Kimmel, that is Tom Kimmel, and get on his site. And you may do that, by the way, at, well, I have all the information in front of me, but you know what, Tom? Since you're the guest, you're the man, let me have you give our listeners your website, Pearl Harbor 9/11 Attacks. Go ahead, give it out, and your email as well.
Okay, the website is www.PearlHarbor911Attacks.com. PearlHarbor911Attacks.com. If you can't find it that way, just Google Tom Kimmel, and once you get through the rock and roll singer Tom Kimmel, you'll come to me, and that will get you to my website. There's an email capability on the website, but my direct email is Thomas K. Kimmel Jr. at gmail.com.
Right. And Kimmel is K-I-M-M-E-L, folks. Okay. And all right, let's take a call now. I believe we have a caller here from David in San Francisco. Is that right? Come on up.
Oh, hi, Rick. Yeah, and Tom, as a matter of fact, I'm glad he just mentioned Dusko Popov a few minutes ago, and I've got a copy of his book, Spy Counter Spy, right in front of me. And unfortunately, that book doesn't have an index or a table of contents, so I haven't found the exact page where Popov, if I recall, Popov came to New York specifically to warn America about Pearl Harbor. And if I remember right, he got here in like late October or early November. He was here almost a month before Pearl Harbor. And he was a triple agent and was able to, he was in Berlin when the Japanese were there studying old ship captain's logs about weather conditions I think that was Hawaii used to be the Sandwich Islands. And so they were trying to figure out the exact date to attack, and they were looking for the guaranteed clearest skies, and they had come up with a window of 2 days, and December 7th was one of those 2 days. And so he came specifically to warn America. He claims that J. Edgar Hoover whisked him away, locked him into a hotel, and basically kept him on ice and unable to warn the president. So he does not blame Franklin Roosevelt. He blames J. Edgar Hoover for the failure to warn America. Wondering
any
if you're
comment?
Familiar with that.
Yeah, any comment?
David, thank I'm very cool. That, and the best experts on Popov are these two Irish authors in A Matter of Honor. Popov is extensively discussed in that book. They have interviewed Popov's son on numerous occasions. They really are the world's expert on Popov. I highly recommend the book to you on that basis alone, A Matter of Honor.
Well, unfortunately, I hear the music. I haven't got time for any more calls. I apologize to Lark and others on the line. But, you know, the music, unfortunately, is a signal, Tom. We're out of time. 2 hours on the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And thank you. I can't thank you enough for being with us all these years, Tom. And may you have a good surgery on your hip, and may you come back again soon to tell the story again.
I'd almost forgotten about that hip surgery, but thanks, Rick.
God bless. All right, Tom. Thank you. Folks, sorry, we're out of time. We could have gone another 2 hours, but just remember that date coming up this week. And thank you all. Until next week, God bless.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.